Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
It's the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Have no place to go, darling.
Hi, 6:12 Friday morning, and probably Friday where you are in a second. Show number 1254. Hold on a second. I have something on the microphone I need to get rid of. That's better.
You're not a windscreen guy.
Windscreens,
that about you.
Windscreens attract more germs than anything on the planet.
Oh.
Yeah, they make public toilets look healthy. Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, you got everybody else. Windscreens, for you kids listening at home, are these foam things that you put over microphones to prevent things like that.
Popping the peas.
But the windscreens we have on here are used by everybody.
Yeah, they are.
Now, if you think everybody that works on this station, and, you know, you work a mic close and suddenly your lips are pressing against. It's like making out with people that work here.
I shouldn't have asked.
In the olden days of radio, we used to switch out the windscreens for our hosts.
Some hosts have that.
Yeah, their own windscreens.
Yeah, way too expensive.
In the old days of radio, we didn't have windscreens.
They had to crank
it up. Have microphones. Remember you had those vaudeville horns you used to talk
into? Yeah, we had megaphones and we had the tin cans before that.
Wowza, wowza! Hey, Dave, the Dave Hennett Show.
Date yourself.
Why, everyone else does. I might.
Let's get after it. The top six at six right now.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
With the top six at six. Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men.
Obviously, the first item on the list is water meters, just like every other Friday.
Yeah, that's Friday.
City tests found 20% of homes with water meters had elevated levels of brain-damaging lead.
Just 20%.
1 in 5. Roll that dice.
I put this in the no duh.
Well, but it's the weird story is that they've denied it, kind of.
Yeah. You know the pipes, the lead pipes underneath the city of Chicago, most of them are 100 years old. And so it's a no-brainer that that's going to be. It's just a question until the studies are done, that they have to put this on paper. But I think everybody knows.
Well, here's what's going to happen. Money collected through water bills are going to cover the cost of $60 kits to get you through, which include, I'm not making this up, which include a pitcher and replacement filters for your refrigerator, so you don't drink the death-causing water that's coming out of your spigot.
I like the Chicago water because, first, it tastes like pizza, which is great. Two, if I need some sort of pharmaceutical fix, it's in the water. They dump all the pills in the water.
That's a good point.
Like, yeah, you know, if maybe...
You don't have to go to Walgreens.
Yeah, I don't
just have a glass of water.
For an infection or, you know, take the edge off, just get a glass of water.
Right, it's all in there. It's like a smoothie.
Right.
Next, Bloomberg and the Wall Street Journal are reporting the president is expected to nominate Heather Nauert to replace Nikki Haley as a U.N. ambassador. Look, Heather Nauert's a very bright woman.
Don't know.
She may be qualified for a lot of things. But about 2 years ago, she was hosting the weekend edition of Fox and Friends. I don't know that Fox and Friends is a direct line to being the first voice the world hears on American policy.
What is it about? I mean, I know Trump specifically loves all the media people, but Mike Pence was a radio guy. I mean, what is it about this idea of radio or media people moving into politics?
Well, he likes what he watches on TV. I'm not being a jerk. I'm not exaggerating there. He likes hot blondes. I mean, who doesn't? Yeah. So do I.
So I guess it's true because he was on TV with The Apprentice. So I guess it makes sense that he's going to have a fondness for people.
Yeah, and you know, again, she may be completely qualified, but I do think it's a leap from Fox and Friends to UN ambassador.
Yeah, at least we were talking about this about the Illinois governor that you have. You know, J.B. Pritzker has no political experience.
Right.
Rauner didn't before he came in.
Right,
and you look at Jim Edgar. And Jim Edgar was Secretary of State.
Right.
He had served almost a decade's worth before getting it. Yeah, and then he said he was surprised by what he found when he got there.
Yeah, it's the thing, right? Because I get that people or don't want an inside politician. But politics is a job. It's a job like any other job, and you need experience on the job to rise to the top of that particular field. It doesn't mean you have to be corrupt and a terrible person.
It's crazy.
So the idea that we've just discounted experience politically is a little crazy.
And if you're going to be a UN ambassador, you got to figure out how you use those headphones and how you...
Right.
You got to learn all these languages, and there's a lot that goes into that.
Imagine the amount of time you just spend with those language tapes. Right. Yeah. What do you mean I have to learn Swahili by this afternoon?
Maybe in her interview, she was like, can I try some Urdu on you? And he's like, love it. Done. Must speak Urdu.
Next. Wisconsin man given prison for illegally selling the gun that killed Paul Bauer. Thomas Caldwell sold dozens of guns without a license on a website that he put up. He's going to get 3 years and a few days in prison. Doesn't bring back Paul Bauer. The bizarre part of the story is this guy's 69 years old. He's a Vietnam vet, and he has claimed on multiple occasions after being arrested that he had an addiction to selling guns, and he couldn't help himself. I've never heard of that.
He also claimed like schizophrenia, too, and things. So.
Well, that's what you want, somebody who's battling mental health issues of significance to be selling guns online. So it's just an awful story all the way around. Next. Thousands of Google employees around the world walked out yesterday to protest the company's handling of sexual misconduct charges. Google as a corporation handled this, I thought, quite well when about 8 hours before they announced, you're right, we screwed up. Mm-hmm. We totally screwed up. We support it. You gotta walk out this morning. That's okay. We get it. It didn't ruin the walkout, but it sort of tamped down the protest a little bit. Now, I mean, Google's got to follow through now.
Google is a behemoth tech company, and tech as an industry in Silicon Valley was the first. I mean, they were the first ones to sort of be the test pilot for Me Too. All of those guys that ran the tech companies, all of the ones that we know and use. That it just kind of was rampant through the Bay Area.
Well, you know what's funny is I was surprised how surprised people are. You know, nerds like to get freaky, too. So you had some nerds that were overdoing
it. And they got excessive power.
All these nerds. Yeah, exactly. Nerds with power and money are just as dangerous as regular guys with power and money or jocks with power and money.
Just power and money.
Yeah, I think that's the common...
Next, 70% of Venice is underwater. The incredible city that you think of as being all about water and underwater. Underwater is a little different than the gondolas. And the flooding and the rain there has been incredible.
I think it was the end of a marathon there this weekend, and they showed the...
The people running in it?
Yeah, they're running. It was up to their knees.
Yeah, I don't know how you... I can't believe my time.
I saw people eating in an Italian restaurant having dinner, and they were walking around. The waiters up in hip waders delivering food to people sitting in water.
That's the part I don't get.
The serious part
it can't
about
be healthy.
This is that, you know, this was in the Inconvenient Truth, the Al Gore movies about that. That's going to be the first city we're going to see with the effect of climate change. But when those cities like Venice have to be evacuated and moved, and essentially the people of Venice become refugees, become migrants, they become the next caravan. Are we going to have the same approach to the people of Venice and the people of cities in Europe that are or low-lying cities that we do from people coming from central
caravan of Venice? A bunch of Venetian guys in gondola costumes.
Waiters.
And, you know, the worst-case scenario is that we here near the Great Lakes are going to have to fight to protect our source of water because people will be coming to get our water.
That's the sci-fi movie, right? Yeah, that's the worst-case scenario that everybody comes to Chicago because all we have is the lake, and that hasn't risen. So, by the way, I go up Lakeshore Drive many times a week, and why is the lake so high?
I don't know.
I don't know.
All right, we'll get back to me on that.
Because I do as well.
Dave, you're mostly focused on
maybe
you.
You're sinking in.
I'm looking around in the world, Dave. You're mostly just focused on you.
Yeah, that's a good point.
You're jumping out of your car and getting the ruler out and checking the levels.
I haven't measured lately.
Listen, Aaron, item number six. Yeah, so I'm getting to it. Relax.
Wow.
Item number six. Thrillist has ranked the best frozen pizzas. Last night when I was at the grocery store, I was looking at the frozen pizzas, and I went, what would Sandberg do? And then I looked at my What Would Sandberg Do bracelet and decided, not tonight.
She would have gotten number one, just so you know.
What was number one?
We'll get to that. Number 25 was Whole Foods. I'm just going to go through a couple of these
here. You don't have to go through all of them, but I just wanted to highlight number 23.
That.
You see that?
Number 23 is Lean Cuisine 4 Cheese.
Yeah.
And that's the one Pete used to...
Pete used to eat two Lean Cuisines every night until he got met his wife, thank God. He Lucy, he's two of them every single night, always.
Mary's paint in a fine picture, form today.
A bleak picture of Pete.
Yeah. It was really... Pete.
One was the appetizer, the next one was the main course.
They had his picture pixelated, like when they were doing the commercials for it. This guy loves him.
And then he would sometimes on the weekend have too much to drink and either get a burrito or pizza that he got all over himself. That was his life.
Wow. What a nice picture you're painting of Pete. Are you the one leaving eggplant on his doorstep?
No. That's okay. That was his life, though. He knows.
Number 20 is Amy's Cheese Pizza. I didn't even know Amy was in the pizza business. Yeah. Something called Trader Giotto's at 15. Is that a Trader Joe's product?
Trader Joe's pizza, yeah.
Wild Mike's at 14. These are pizzas I haven't heard of. Kirkland, that's the Costco pizza. Has anybody had Costco pizza?
Yeah.
Is it good?
With an 11-year-old? Yeah.
Is it good?
It's fine. It's fine. it's passable. It's probably better than your Domino's pizza.
Is that the one they serve in the front of the store?
Yeah, they do. That's the same. Yeah.
Number 9, Screaming Sicilian Holy Pepperoni. Haven't had it, but interested in it. Number 5, Outsiders Milwaukee Style Pepperoni. I don't know what that is either.
What's Milwaukee Style Pizza?
You're drunk and hungry.
Yeah. Never heard of that one.
And number 1, Home Run Inn Classic Pepperoni. You called that.
I did. Home Run Inn is the best frozen pizza.
I like the sausage better.
I like the sausage and mushroom is my absolute favorite one.
Me too.
The pepperoni is good. We also make the ultra thin cheese for the kids. They love that and I love it as well.
You make it?
I am the best frozen pizza maker on the planet.
What do you mean you make frozen pizza?
You cook it.
You heat it. You get it and you heat it.
Yes, but I have a whole system and I...
You add extra ingredients?
No, you just have a good oven.
No, but I put it in. I have a whole system and like Patrick, they'll go eat pizza at a restaurant and he'll say, Mary, it's almost as good as your pizza. And I'm like, my pizza's frozen Home Run Inn. But it's so good that it stands up to anybody else.
Yeah. All right.
I know you're a really good cook and I know you can make unbelievable cookies. I'm not sure I'm buying this frozen pizza thing.
I think it good. Do we have an oven here?
Yeah, I'll make it.
312-981-7200 if you want to ask Lou a question next.
That's it!
That's all today for the Top 6 at 6.
No more!
Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
It's Lou's First Call with Lou Manfredini and Steve Cochran. Brought to you by American Weathermakers.
American Weathermakers, we won't be comfortable until you are.
It's the time of the show for Lou's First Call.
Good morning, pal.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine, how are you?
Great.
All right, good talk. Let's go to Al in Deerfield.
I want to get to the caller just in case you hang up on them again.
Yeah, no kidding. Ham hands. And by the way, Al, you weren't the guy I hung up on, were you?
No, I was not.
That makes me feel good. Whoever that was, call back. I'll give you my car. All right, so Al, what is your trouble that Lou could help you out with?
Well, I have a patio seating wall that's a brick wall that all the bricks are flaking. And someone told me that it's because of the overhang on the top that the water's running down and that's causing the bricks to flake. So I want to take the wall down, and I was wondering, should I go back with a brick wall or should I use the uniblocks? What would you prefer?
Yeah, if it's regular, Chicago common brick or something like that, I assume, is there dirt on the other side of it as well, or it's open on both sides?
There's dirt on the other side.
Yeah.
And I put a foundation and everything, down and all that.
Okay.
That's a patio wall? Is that what you're talking about?
That's a patio, and then it's got like a seating wall.
But there's dirt on the opposite side. So that moisture that's on that back side of it is what's coming in, and the moisture is getting wicked in through the brick, the saltpeter inside the brick. It's banging up against the facing of the brick that you see. That added water, if you say there's an overhang that's coming over the top, that's not helping you at all. Seating wall where you use like pavers to create that seat wall. The nice thing about that is it's not mortared together. You've got gaps. It's loosely stacked. And so the gaps that appear in between the block, that allows that moisture to wick through. And because the concrete blocks are fired and they're designed primarily to be outside and wet, there's a different composition in how it's made, and it holds up much better for that kind of situation.
Yeah, and I got to tell you, Al, I agree with what Lou said.
The Uniblock, you prefer the Uniblock? Over
well, I mean, Unilock is a brand. Pavelock is another brand. I mean, it really all depends on what you want. But I have found over the years that that's the best application for best. What you're trying to do.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll go with that then.
All right. Now, hold on, pal, because I have stuff for you. This is not going to help your brick situation at all, but I have for you a April Air Wi-Fi thermostat that allows you to adjust the temperature of your home's air on your smartphone from American Weathermakers, the 60 Minute Men. Call 855-955-HVAC. Does anybody have any whiny staff questions that they have problems at the house?
No, I'm good.
Everybody's good?
How's the floor?
Well, Mary? So my printer ink, one of the fuchsia color, dripped on our wood floors, and I sent a picture to Lou. And I had to go do kids stuff, so I couldn't address it instantly. So
when did you realize it dripped? Like when it dripped or hours later?
Yeah, when it dripped, which has never happened before because it was on my hands, and that's why I went and looked, and there was this little pink dot on it.
And I was on call, so she got me right away.
That's the thing, and I'm not kidding when I tell you this. Lou is on call 24/7 to anybody on the staff, and it always goes this way. Hey, Lou, I hate to bother you with this.
Yeah. I skipped the hate to bother you because
I just went right at it.
I Googled it, and they said put peroxide on it, and I'm like, I don't know about that. So then I said to Lou, hey, I sent him the picture, printer ink, whatever. So he tells me what to do, and I did it, but I had to go do other things, so I couldn't just keep working on it. And then he told me, even though you have to go to bed, you have to do it now because it's going to set. So I worked on it longer. And it is much better, but it's not
so
perfect.
You went full Cinderella, hands and knees, while everybody else is going the rest of the day?
Well, it's hard because with a wood floor, if you use the chemicals are too harsh, you'll take the finish off, and then we have to resand the whole floor. This is the woman that if a potted plant is out of whack, you know, 3 inches.
Yeah.
If the finish was wrong on the floor, I mean, poor Pat Boyle would never sleep.
The problem is it fell on a seam, so it's very difficult. But I've made it better, and
you got to move.
I know.
There's no way you can fix this.
I've talked about a bigger piece of furniture to hide it. It's, but I'll know it's there, so that's a whole separate.
It's like a sitcom.
We don't have time now, but I can give you an update on the people with the house with the planters that are not organized. But anyway,
can't wait. Yeah.
So what do you do in a case like that? Goo gone.
He told me in a nylon brush lightly.
Yeah. Yeah. Because the finish is, the problem is people will go, oh, I'm going to use nail polish remover, and that would get it out right away, but it would take all the finish off, too, because it's acetone.
Oh, just buy a rug.
Why you got to work blue? What's with the drop in the blue, the acetone? You on the radio tomorrow?
I am on the radio tomorrow.
7 a.m.?
It starts at 7. Mm-hmm. I'm happy to answer any and all questions. It'll be Lou's second call tomorrow at, right after news. All right.
The first call always happens here on Friday mornings. Congratulations to our winner there as well. And we have one texter that says, if White Lightning surprise, I'm the caller Steve hung up on. Thanks for checking in.
Well, are they talking about the caulking or your car? I got that White Lightning caulking.
Yeah, I know, and I'm suing. But you'll be actually testifying on my behalf.
Absolutely.
Thank you, buddy.
Bye.
That's Lou Manfredini, and we're back with the headlines next.
It's business time.
In the great city of Chicago, look at how business gets done with the boss. Each week, CEOs and the like talk about how they do what they do. And this brought to us by who?
Signature Bank.
And aren't you one of their fine customers at Signature Bank?
I am a customer at Signature Bank.
Can we get your account number? Maybe give that out.
Yeah, no, I'll give it out, and maybe we can play a game. I'll guess my account number.
This one is, makes me giddy, because David Pillsbury is part of Club Corps and the CEO there. And David, Club Corps is one of your major golf companies, not just in this country, but in the world. And David, just on behalf of all golfers, thanks for doing God's work in this area.
Well, it's our pleasure. We appreciate it, and thanks for having me on the show this morning.
Appreciate you being on. Now, $10 million is a lot to spend on redoing any banquet/restaurant facility. When you have a meeting that says, "Yeah, we'll throw $10 million at this," that's a lot of money.
Well, we're we're much more than a golf club company, and we've got 162 fantastic country clubs. We actually are in the process of transitioning to calling them lifestyle clubs, which is much more descriptive of what they are. And we've got 38 of these magnificent city clubs like the Met in Chicago. And And it really is an important part of rounding out the whole lifestyle experience. As you know, we've got the Mid-America Club and the City Club. We've got at the Met, we've got two downtown city clubs in Chicago. It sort of signifies the importance of the great city of Chicago. But the Met is a pretty special place. I mean, you know, we've been there since 1974. It's kind of a centerpiece, really, of what we stand for in the new Club Corp. The renovation really, I think, represents all that Chicagoans are looking for, and we're pretty excited about it.
David, the private club industry has changed a lot in the last couple of years. You think about some of the newcomers and the expectations for customers. I think of what's happening in some of the more hipper neighborhoods in Chicago, the West Loop and other places, where the idea of the club or the membership to a club has completely changed. Do you see that as a sign of the times, and Club Corps and specifically the Met need to change, to upgrade, to catch up to 2018?
Yeah, I would say this. I would say here's what's the same. Here's what hasn't changed. People want to belong to a community. They aspire to be a part of something, to gather with other people with similar interests, to network, to fellowship with their friends, and to be in an environment where they feel like they've got some exclusivity, some privilege, some access. And what we give them is all of that, plus the ability to access this broader network of more than 200 clubs. Yeah. That hasn't changed. That's been the same for a long time. What's changed is our people's tastes. They're looking for a little more excitement, a little more edge. That old environment that was more sort of that more staid, traditional look is still relevant, but what's become more relevant is more of a contemporary feel. So it's really about keeping up with the changing tastes of the member base. And as millennials kind of come into the pipeline here as new members, their tastes are a little different than the tastes of someone like me, a baby boomer, you know? And we're really just trying to make sure that our clubs really reflect the tastes of our consumer base, but also maintain that tradition of creating this environment that people really aspire to be a part of.
Well, the baby boomer side, comfortable chairs,
yeah, exactly.
For guys
exactly.
Like us, David, you and I. Justin, last word.
David, the demographics, when you are a CEO of a company like this and you have several different clubs, private clubs, it used to be you were going after a certain clientele. Does that have to change? And if it does change, how do you manage that?
It's a great question. It does have to change because, you know, in the traditional golf club world, it was really only about golf. And now golf is still the centerpiece, and that's very important in the lifestyle club environment. But what's also important are all of the other amenities. Fitness, for example, has become much more important. It is almost a required amenity, and not just like, you know, your express hotel fitness facility where there's, you know, three treadmills and no room to turn around. I mean, like a real fitness facility. And so we're spending a lot of energy and money on making sure that we're providing, you know, cutting edge fitness for all of our members, because that is a reflection of the changing tastes of the demographic base that we appeal to. So that's just an example of how we adjust, and we'll have to continue to adjust. I mean, things like, you know, wine selection and great value and food and beverage and celebrity chefs and, you know, interesting menu items, all of that is becoming more and more important, and we're obviously having to make those adjustments as a company in order to appeal to the broadest group of potential members. Yeah.
The Metropolitan, founded in 1974, Club Corps, proud family member, and the grand reinvention is on display starting tomorrow night, 7 to 10. It's accessible, too. You would think a $10 million redo would cost you $100,000 to get into this thing, but not so much, David. Not so much.
That's exactly right. Well, we welcome everyone. We want everyone to see it. It's a great community asset. It's an affordable membership and something that anybody that's interested in business, anybody that's interested in networking in Chicago should be a part of it.
67th floor at the Willis Tower starts at $49. That's great. And where do people get tickets?
They can get tickets online, actually.
Just Google it up. The Metropolitan.
Google it up. It's right there for you.
All right, listen, thanks for coming on and talking about your business a little bit. How good a golfer are you with all that golf experience?
Well, you know, the challenge with me is I don't get to play much. So I'm about a 16 handicap. That's the great thing about golf, right? I can compete with a 4 handicap. That's what makes it such a great game. So anytime you guys want to tee it up at one of our clubs in Chicago, let me know.
Yeah, and thanks for coming on. I appreciate all the information.
All right, guys. Thank you.
David Pillsbury, the boss at Club Corps.
I'm not familiar with the Willis. What's a Willis Tower? What is that? Is that a thing? Is that a new building in Chicago?
It's probably where the Willis family goes. We paid how much?
Oh, yeah, right.
Because a lot of people still say Sears.
I know Sears, but yeah. I'm not sure about Willis. 67th floor. That's cool.
John DeCoste here today, which means we're going to play Match Game.
Yay!
Match Game. That's right. We're going to play Match Game next. Get ready to play Match Game. Brought to us by the CEO Experience here.
Yep, the Signature Bank.
All right, we're super short on time here, so let's do a test run of Match Game, okay? We don't have to take a contestant now. We'll just show you how Match Game works, and then you can play later in the show. I'll be the contestant. All right, and I'm ready to play, John. You're the host. So please tell us the question, and then I'll try to match.
Okay, here we go. Real simple. Justin's son, Miles, is in studio today, and although he went out as Dr. Strange, every house he went to thought he was Dr. Blank.
Oh.
Got to answer that, Miles.
Okay.
Oh, I do.
Miles, yes. You're part of the... You're on the... You're
keep
on
to yourself.
The
one of the customers. Don't blurt it out.
Is it just Steve who's doing this, or yeah. We all?
No, we all answer.
Oh,
this. Yes.
Yeah. Right.
Steve, you guys answer. You guys are the celebrities.
Oh,
I'm the contestant.
Steve is the guest. I got.
Am
it.
I supposed to know the answer?
No, you just
you
fill
creative.
In the blank.
Anything
Miles.
You think of, yeah.
But don't tell us.
Oh, okay.
Justin's son Miles is in studio today, and although he went out as Dr. Strange, every house he went to thought he was Dr. Blank. Fill in the blank. Okay. Everybody set? Everybody ready?
Yeah.
Let's go with Steve's answer since he's our contestant.
Oh, I'm going to go with the obvious one, Dr. Zhivago.
Dr. Zhivago.
Dr. Zhivago, yes, okay. Absolutely.
That's what was on my mind. Yeah. That's very good. Dave, what? At the end, yes?
Dr. Strange Love.
Dr. Strange Love. Very good. Very good. Okay. Justin?
I said Dr. Huxtable.
Dr. Huxtable.
Oh, Heathcliff. Yeah.
That was good. Right. That was good. Mary Sandberg.
Dr. Huey Lewis in the news.
What? Doctor, give me the news. Yeah. No, wait, that's another song.
That's another song. That's another.
Oh, the drug
that's
song.
Okay. Yeah.
I want a new drug.
I want a new drug. That's it. Okay.
That's okay.
Listen,
Steve
Brzanich.
Steve Brzanich.
Dr. Pepper.
Dr. Pepper. Very good.
Good
Joe
one.
In the booth.
Very good.
Dr. Seuss.
Joe, we don't have enough time, Joe. Sorry.
Dr.
Let's
Seuss.
Go Miles.
Seuss.
Dr. Seuss.
Seuss.
Good question.
Me?
Yeah. Yes.
Dr. Frankenstein.
Oh, that's the obvious answer.
That's very good.
Now, right, so we've got no match. Now, Miles, if you notice, we got no matches. That's how the game usually works.
Oh,
we get
yeah.
no matches whatsoever.
I keep forgetting. Mary Vanderbilt,
yeah.
She would have said Dr. Strange.
No, yep. I had Dr. Welby.
Oh, my God. I did. That's great.
Miles, I can't believe you didn't mention Dr. Welby. Dr. Welby was a TV character who died about 50 years before you were born.
How could I have forgotten?
Exactly.
Miles.
Coming up, Stories of Matter with Steve Grzanich from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio.
Pick by Mitchell rises to the uprights. It is good! And the Cats have stunned the Fighting Irish yet again. The Cardiac Cats are back.
Taporn heaves it down the floor.
Got it.
Part of the catch. Puts it up. Yes! Wildcats win! Derek Parton at the buzzer for the win! And the Wildcats have beaten Michigan!
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Thanks. Have a great rest of the day. Go Cats.
I don't know what you're doing this weekend. Could be a little busy in Evanston. Dave Ennett is the most wanted man in Evanston today. Everybody wants a little piece of Dave. But you like this. You like this. It's going to be a fun week.
How can you not like what's happening?
When was the last time Notre Dame was at Northwestern?
1976.
And the final score?
It's not worth repeating.
That's right, because it's going to be different tomorrow.
Yes. And by the way, Coach Fitz brought to you by Mini of Glencoe, North Shore, Mini of Chicago.
Congratulations on another win, Coach.
I was 2 years old in 1976.
Well,
how old were you?
That's really unnecessary.
I was at that game.
1976, I was 15.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah,
a long way.
Keep this in mind. I could have been babysitting you, and you wouldn't have had dinner.
I don't think my parents would have trusted you, my friend. There's no way.
Are you exceptionally excited about this weekend? I mean, I know you got a game to prepare for it. They all count the same. It is not a conference deal, but this is cool.
It is. I'm fired up for McKendree tonight. You know, it's a big game.
Yeah, how about selling out an exhibition game on the hoop side? We have a special celebrity questioner who will join us in just a second to grill Coach Fitz. Yeah, so he'll be throwing some stuff. All right, Dave.
Biggest game in Wildcat history is tonight. Let's go.
So, Dave, a question you won't be asking Coach Fitz on the Coach Fitz show tomorrow. What is it?
Well, I'll probably be asking him again. But I do wonder, when you go into a game like this and there's so much attention on it, does it help your guys, having played such a high-level, impactful game just a week ago, where you kind of reach a certain level and now it's a question of staying there or even kicking it up a notch, but you've just played such a big game. Does it help when you prepare for the next one?
Yeah, absolutely. No doubt about it. You know, and sports, no matter if it's football or basketball, it's all about the way you prepare. And, you know, I think this group has really understood the process that it takes to get yourself ready for Saturday. But just because you're ready for Saturday doesn't mean you're going to go out and win. You got to go out and make it happen. And, you know, the old coachism, I can get you A to B, but you got to go B to Z. You know, you got the rest on Saturday. And this group has really been grinding hard throughout the whole season, and this week was no different. You know, they really got after it. You know, the pedal's down. We had 40 guys set personal records in the weight room. You know, so we're pedal down in Evanston. There's no doubt about that.
Obviously, there's so much local interest in this game, but obviously now national interest because the Notre Dame, the Irish are ranked and are looking at possible playoff contention. What is it about the Notre Dame Fighting Irish we need to know about? Because this team is always stacked with potential NFL players and recruits. Coach Kelly brings so many blue chip people in to play in his program. What do you see on tape with Notre Dame? What makes him so special?
Well, it starts on offense with Ian Book. He's an outstanding player. You know, for our fans that maybe haven't watched the Irish play, he'll remind them. He'll remind him of Danny Persa, you know, really athletic, you know, almost when the play breaks down off the sheet, you know, so to speak, off the playbook sheet, that's when he's really dangerous. You have to do a really good job of containing him and keeping the ball inside and in front. They've got two really dynamic backs, great receiving core and great tight ends. And then on defense, it starts up front, our front seven. You know, their defensive front is as good as anybody we've seen. Their linebackers are physical, very similar to Michigan, that front seven. And the back end's got an All-American and Julian Love. So, you know, we got our hands full. There's no doubt about that. But that's what you sign up for when you play Big Ten football. This is nothing new for us. And I think our guys will be excited for the challenge and the opportunity.
As always, when Coach Fitz is on, we get a lot of outpouring from the Northwestern community in general. Mm-hmm. And a young member of the Northwestern community is about to join us on the phone here with a question for Coach Fitz. Yes, young man, what's your name?
Yes, my name is Chris. I'm from Winnetka, Illinois. I was just like to know what we feel about the game on Saturday night. Are the coaches going to be fired up and ready to go?
Good question. Good question, gonna, Chris. Hold gonna, on.
Chris, can I trade you opponents?
I got to be honest with you. I think that works out for both of you.
That's no disrespect for McKendree, but holy cow.
Chris Collins, and Northwestern basketball's got an awfully big day today as well. You know, if you said earlier in the year, yeah, we'll probably sell out the exhibition game against McKendree, I would have said stop drinking at work. But look at you. Look at you. Congratulations.
No, thanks. It's an exciting weekend, you know, for Northwestern athletics. You know, I think it was kind of set up with this in mind. We knew our football program and Coach Fitz were going to put our team in a position to have a big-time game Saturday night, and we wanted the grand opening of the new Welsh Ryan to kind of be the opener to the weekend and for people to be excited about it as well, and kind of sets up, you know, for our athletic department to be on display here this weekend. And there's so much good going on, what we've done in facilities, the excitement, the energy, the investment of the players. It's going to be great to be a part of it. Hopefully we can be a nice JV act tonight and set up for the varsity game on Saturday night and watch the Cats take down the Irish.
Pat,
how about an opening band? Let's have a party.
have you seen the new arena, Pat?
Yeah, we had an all athletic department staff meeting a couple weeks ago, and it was
Mr. Cat, I'll just say this. It was Joe from when I was sitting in the stands watching Bobby Knight take on the Cats and his teams to what Chris has built now and the amazing support of the Ryan family and the Wilson family to make this happen. It's going to be a special weekend, but that doesn't happen without amazing effort by Dr. Jim Phillips and support of Morty Shapiro and our trustees. So it's our fans are going to love it, and then we'll have a great weekend. And before you know it, we'll be talking about the renovation of Ryan Field. How does that sound?
Yeah, well, here's the thing. You guys have this amazing training facility, got this brand new basketball arena. If I'm Jim Phillips, I'm going, how about you two stay out of my office for a while?
Oh, no. That's not how this thing works, brother.
Congratulations on both ends. Tomorrow night, Dave, as you know, this is a huge game for Notre Dame. They can't lose.
Absolutely.
They can't lose.
Absolutely. And
on the road.
And Chris, I just wonder real quick, what's your favorite part of the new arena?
I just think how we kept it to our personality. It's got all the bells and whistles. It's beautiful, all the amenities, but it's 7,000 seat capacity. So, everybody's going to be right on top of the action. We want it to be loud. We want it to be a great home court advantage. And, I like the fact that we kept it to our size and have the ability to make it a little bit of a pit and hopefully the toughest place to play in the Big Ten.
Hey, Chris, have we selected a date for Steve Cochran to come and miss a half-court shot yet at the new arena?
It is an open invitation. I saw you guys were over at the new Ryan Fieldhouse and Walter Athletic Facility, so I'm eagerly anticipating Steve getting back and kind of trying to make up for a really tough performance last
debacle.
Time he was with us.
That was a debacle. It was a complete debacle.
Why don't we shoot the jugs machine from the 50-yard line to see if we can catch a punt tomorrow? All night on national TV.
God, you two are brutal.
In front of 47-130, what do you think?
Nobody knows the trouble I've seen.
We did that a few years ago.
Oh,
Michigan
did we?
State was
yeah, well, maybe
here.
They were
remember
talking
that?
About that.
It didn't work out so well
for
you.
What do you think he was referencing?
Well, he's busy at halftime. He wasn't watching that.
Coach,
I saw the YouTube video.
Oh, God, love you both. Tonight, the brand new basketball arena, the best building to play hoops in the Big Ten by far, opens.
And we're going to have it right here on WGN 645.
And tomorrow night, Notre Dame town, the Irish and Northwestern. That's going to be something else. And what time will that little gem start?
We'll start our pregame at 3 o'clock outside at the end zone on the southwest corner of Ryan Field outside, and then we'll start our pregame 5:45, kick 6:15.
And Roe is going to be at...
Roe and Anna are coming over.
Yeah, there'll be a drive-by by many people. By the way, regardless how you two feel about me, I'm very fond of both of you. Thank you, Coach Chris Collins and Coach Fitz. Have a great weekend.
All right, guys.
Appreciate
thanks for having me on.
Chris, go Cats. There you go.
I don't know how excited. I'm so excited about that game. I mean, the excitement is starting to.
But I'm
over.
Really excited about the arena tonight
yeah, right.
and the dedication. And I have been in there, and it's like Fitz says, it's jaw dropping.
Yeah.
I think people when they walk in, they know it's going to be good. But I think till you see it for the first time, if you've been going to games there for years, this is totally different.
But it's
intimate.
I'm going to watch a game, and I'm going to go sound down on the national broadcast so I can listen to Dave Bennett.
Well, you should.
Yeah,
absolutely. One of the things about the old building was you did have to sit in the lap of the person to your immediate right or left.
A little bit tight.
A little roomier?
Seat backs now, too.
Oh, come on.
They used to be on one side. It was all just bleachers. There are bleachers for the student sections behind the baskets, but the rest of it's seat backs and
a little more legroom.
People can go online and watch the video of you missing the half-court shot to get a feel for the arena if they had not been there before, so then they have something to compare the new arena too.
Quick question. What show are you producing Monday? 7:22, Dave.
And Coach Fitz brought to us by and Coach Collins. Many of Glencoe, North Shore, and many of Chicago.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show
on 720 WGN.
Today's most valuable person on the planet, Dave, is for you. You like beer. You like Brett Kavanaugh. You like beer.
I don't mind it.
Yeah. You like museums?
I like museums, yeah.
It's like beer and museums. Would you like a beerzium?
A beerzium?
How about a brewzium?
Sure.
Field Museum has just become the best bar in the city. Liz Garibay joins us. Liz is the founder of the Chicago Brewzium. Good morning, Liz.
Good morning.
You know, Dave likes beer.
I've never heard anyone say, I don't mind beer.
Is that what he said? I don't mind beer?
Yes.
Well, because Liz, I'm sorry, but you just kind of have to know the flow of the show where Steve is constantly berating me for imagined drinking.
There's a fine line between berating and an intervention.
Okay.
So the Chicago Brewseum's idea started where?
I think I was having a drink with some of my museum friends in a bar.
Yeah, because you don't mind beer. And
not so much.
And what is the way you tie the rich history of Chicago and beer together?
Well, you know, beer as a whole has certainly been around since humans could practically walk. It's been tied to all kinds of historic events and historic people. It's certainly been a catalyst for a lot of our motivations as humans. And, you know, in the United States, we're a young country where there are already drinkers arriving. And, you know, I like to call the Midwest the Fertile Crescent of the West because, you know, this is kind of the beginnings of a lot of agriculture and industry. And our lucky for us, we had early German immigrants come through. And for us, that meant a lot of beer making.
You know, hops, barley, wheat, we have it all. All right, so when people go, can they actually sample?
Well, actually, the Field Museum does have a great bistro, and they do make their own beers. So while you probably cannot drink beer in the exhibit, you will be able to drink beer near the exhibit, which is good.
That's always good.
Good enough for me.
Hi, Liz. What I love about the exhibit and the Brewseum and everything about it is that it really does look at Chicago's history when it comes to brewing and beer, because it is a big part of this country's history and heritage. This is Chicago may not be what it was 50, 100 years ago, but this was the mecca when it came to beer and brewing.
Absolutely. I often argue that, you know, Chicago wouldn't be here without the beer industry the way we know it, for sure. You know, and one of the things that people think about when you say beer is just like, oh, yeah, let's, you know, drink that delicious stuff and get really drunk and, you know, be silly. And I think that one of the great things about the modern beer industry is that everyone is sort of understanding that beer is more than just a beverage. And so one of the things that, you know, I often talk about when discussing the Brewseum is that beer is just more than just a beverage. It's a cultural force that brings people together and is really kind of a mirror for society. And so you can certainly say that of 2018, and you can certainly say that of 1818.
You know, I don't know anything about curating an exhibit, so I wouldn't begin to even offer advice, but a suggestion maybe. Do you have like a big bowl of car keys? Because it seems like when my father drank a lot, he could never find his keys.
Well, again, lucky for us, you can't drink in the exhibit, so we were able to eliminate the key car bowl part
for
the show.
Look what you did there. Hey, congratulations. It looks like it's great, and look, it's not every day you get to be the most valuable person on the planet, so good news. Open when, and how do we get tickets?
Well, it's up at the Field Museum. It's called Brewing Up Chicago, How Beer Transformed the City, at the Field Museum through January 5th, 2020. And that will be our temporary home until the Chicago Brewseum gets a permanent home, our own museum. And we're still looking for a location, so that'll be the next big news.
Maybe Dave's house. Yeah, it's a thought.
Is it 30,000 square feet, Dave?
It's a little smaller than that.
Yeah, but you don't mind beer.
We have some outside space.
You don't mind beer, you can make some room.
I don't.
Liz, thank you very much.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah, the most valuable person on the planet. And stone cold sober, too. So impressive.
Very.
So
she's calling out Dave for not accepting his role on the show as the drinker.
Exactly.
Okay.
The Chicago Brewseum. And again, it's at the Field. It's 7:30. We'll come back with your headlines next on 720 WGN.
An animal!
Dan Hampton anchors a young Bears defense.
An animal!
It's time for Dan Hampton.
Sponsored by Chevy Drive, Chicago.com. Dave, Cheryl has a question before we go to Hamp here.
Yes.
Will there be updated concessions at Northwestern University basketball games?
Oh, yeah.
Or will they be serving the old food?
No, they actually have food freshly prepared for each game.
Nice.
Is that
good?
Is that what
Cheryl
you
from
meant?
Northbrook.
I think
Cheryl
she means new fancy options.
They have beautiful
not just nachos
new
pretzel.
Concession stands. I didn't really. I can answer that in a second. I will double check.
All right, get back to us on that.
Yeah, but I think there are.
I don't mind. I don't mind concessions.
Well, no, it's not what I. All right, let's go over to Hamp here. Dan Hampton. Hey, buddy.
I just wonder what the Northwestern football team will be serving to the Irish tomorrow. That's what the big question is.
How about depression and sadness? I think that's what they should serve them.
So. Let's hope not. Let's hope not.
No, I just want Northwestern to make sure Notre Dame leaves town unhappy with one loss on their record.
That'd be something. I'm telling you. And you know what? Hey, for all the Notre Dame fans, they're in it. Now let's see if they can stay in it.
That's exactly right. That's the deal. You want to be one of the top four? Went out. Dan Hampton came up in 79. O.J. Simpson was about to wrap up his career. Did you ever get a crack at him with the Niners before he left?
Yes, I did. Let me tell you the story. So I'm a rookie, and back then Buddy Ryan had a special defense late in games called the 28 Jet. Basically, we're rushing the passer, just trying to, you know, get to the quarterback and play a little soft zone. But if the second running back crosses your face as a defensive end, well, you got to stop rushing and turn and chase him because nobody is going to be able to account for him.
Right.
We're in a deep zone, and if the second back crosses your face, boy, you got to just slam on the brakes and take off. We're late in the game. We've got a two-point lead, and it's Joe Montana, and he's throwing bombs, and I think it was on third down. I'm rushing the passer. All of a sudden, the back slashed across my face, and I said, oh, my God. That's my second back. So, boy, here I go. You know, we work on practice. It's never happened in a game. And I'm a rookie. So I stand, and here I'm chasing him down the sideline, this running back. And as I'm chasing him, it's like slow motion, you know. You know the sound. And I look on his jersey, and it says, O.J. Simpson. I'm about 5 feet behind him. And he puts his hands up, and the crowd noise goes, and the ball hits him in the hands, and he drops it.
Oh, fantastic. He heard the footsteps.
No, he dropped it. He was old, slow, and needing to retire.
I like this story better that he heard the footsteps from one of the great secondary coverage schemes ever, Hamp running down a receiver.
But after that, years later, I worked for NBC, and I did the NBC studio stuff with Bob Costas and O.J. Simpson for 2 years.
Oh, you did?
So I knew O.J.
Yeah, it's one of the bizarre stories of all time, obviously, and you don't know anybody until you know them, and their professional life may be far different than their personal life. But, yeah, every encounter I ever had with him, he was O.J., and he was great. Having said that, the Buffalo Bills, with their four Super Bowls unrealized, don't look like they're getting back anytime soon. So based on what we saw last week with the Bills, based on what we've seen, this feels like one of those, don't take them too lightly, don't look past this game. Is that right?
Well, and you're exactly right, Steve. You know, so much of the time when you're a young team, you worry about the big things, and you don't worry about the little ones. Well, this is a little thing that can blow up in your face. I'll tell you this. I watched the game Monday night against New England really close because we had just played the Patriots. And guess what? The Patriots beat us, but we made mistakes that allowed them to win. Well, the same thing with Buffalo. Buffalo was in that game late into the fourth quarter, and an overruling of a touchdown catch and then a pick six. The game looks like it, you know, it's a laugher. It wasn't. The Buffalo Bills, they are desperate, and they mean business. The problem with them is, like we all are painfully aware of here in Chicago, they ain't got a quarterback. And, you know, this kid, Peterman, he's thrown 32 passes thus far this season when nobody else, you know, was available, and he's thrown four interceptions. So it's one of those kind of situations where they want to stay close. They want to be in the fourth quarter. They want to try to steal a game. We need to, you know, basically put them out of their misery early. Stomp on them, as OB says, stomp the life out of them early. Don't let them come back and cause you problems.
have Vic Fangio said yesterday, he was asked about whether they should have taken Khalil Mack out earlier after he suffered the injury, and whether they should have continued to play him or played him the next week against New England, going back to the Miami game. And he said, yeah, in hindsight, yeah, maybe we should have. But when you're going through a game and you sustain an injury as a player, and maybe you know, but your coach is going to say, hey, are you good to go? What's the mindset of a player in that situation? Are you going to say, hey, you better take me out because I suffered this injury?
Well, quite honestly, folks, it's the measure of the player's character. And if you ask a player, are you okay? And he says, I don't know, maybe I need to get a second opinion.
So, where did the second opinion come from? You got to run over to the other sideline?
Yeah. OB tells the great story of Fred Williams, a great defensive tackle from Arkansas, of all places,
right,
he played with. One time during the middle of a game, he looks back and there's Fred on the ground. And Fred never got hurt. And he ran up to Fred. He goes, Fred, are you okay? And Fred goes, yeah, I'm okay. But how's the crowd taking it? So when you get hurt or you get dinged up, you as a player, look, you're not a hood ornament. You're not decoration. You are to play the game. And you live to play that 60 plays a week. They don't even play 60 plays now. They sub in. But I appreciate Khalil Mack trying to be a tough guy and kind of gut it out. He had never missed much playing time. But at some point, it's all about the end result. Now, if you are a detriment to the team and you can't cut it, and you know what? Quite clearly against the Patriots, he was getting batted around like a pinball. He wasn't able to cut it. So then, okay, he's got an injury that he is not capable of playing with. But I'll tell you this. Most of the guys that I played with ankles and knees, they somehow, some way, they found a way to cut it. And, yesterday, Steve, was the 19th anniversary of the passing of the great Walter Payton. And I told a story about Walter would get up at 3 o'clock in the morning and come in and get treatment and lift weights before anybody else showed up because he liked everybody thinking he was Superman and that he didn't have to get treatment or lift weights. But you know what? An ankle would not have stopped the great Walter Payton.
Right.
So, Khalil Mack wanting to be great, he is a hell of a player. I admire him for trying. We'll see how it all shakes out, though.
Do you remember, based on this conversation, the most pain you were in when you played a game? Like the circumstances of a game that you just, it was difficult, but you refused to quit?
Well, I injured an ankle in practice, and normally you never got hurt. It had rained about 2 weeks in a row, and we were actually practicing down the street at a park in Lake Forest called South Park. Anyway, it was really muddy, and somehow I rolled my ankle really bad, and I never really had any problems with my ankle. But it blew up, and, they put it on ice, and this was on Thursday. And that week, I was supposed to play against John Hanna and the New England Patriots.
One of the best ever.
John Hanna had been on the front of Sports Illustrated 2 weeks earlier, the greatest offensive lineman alive. And I just knew, if I didn't play, everybody's going to say I was a chicken blank. I was scared. So you found a way to gut it out. And if you go back and look at ancient history, I was defensive player of the week in the NFL. So
how about that?
Sometimes you just find a way to swell up and make it happen.
Right, right. Swelling can be good, kids. All right, before we get to the predictions, here's what I'd like to see happen. A nice little balanced attack early, a couple of early touchdowns, and then I want to see Trubisky throw it all over the field because it's like you're going to miss the cut and you got the Masters next week. Try some shots you're not normally going to hit because this kid needs to get in rhythm for the games we have to win going forward.
You know what, and quite honestly, if we do have a lead, there's nothing wrong with pushing the envelope of the offense. You and I both know that for a lot of reasons, there's question marks about this kid, his accuracy and his what would you call it, consistency.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in the first half of last week's game against the miserable Jets, he was the Jets' best player. He kept them in it. And then in the third quarter, like an epiphany, bam, he looked like, you know, Patrick Mahomes, throwing the ball with you know, dedication and velocity and all those things that you want. We need to see it for four quarters, not just one. I like what you're thinking.
All right, so let's go with the prediction, starting with Justin.
23-17 Bears.
Well, you think it's close?
Yeah, it's on the road.
Okay. What's the weather in Buffalo tomorrow, do we know?
Mm.
Or Sunday? Dave?
We're pretty close, at least on one end. Bears 23, Buffalo 6.
23-6. Okay. Samber?
I'm going to go with a 14-14 tie.
Super Joe,
it
chime
says,
in, Super
51
Joe.
51 degrees in Buffalo.
Yeah, oh, that's like summer in Buffalo.
Yeah.
Super Joe.
17-0 Bears.
Oh, 17-0. You like a shutout. Look, I think you get the blowout, but I think it's a 28-7 Bears win. What did you say, 28-6, Dave?
I said 23-6.
Let me change that up. 45-3 Bears. All right, Hemp.
On the road.
14-9. I don't think the Bills are going to be able to score a touchdown, but they may move it a little bit. By the way,
14-9 is ugly.
Well, but you know what? Guess what? I'm telling you, their quarterback has got serious issues. He shouldn't even be in the NFL.
Yeah.
You know, for the Bears to catch a couple of breathers in the middle of the season just like this, I like what you're thinking. You know, this isn't a game that we go out and go, okay, ho-hum, let's get through this, and then we'll start worrying about Minnesota. This is a game that we can use in lieu of the preseason games that we didn't really get anything done. So, you know, this is a work in progress. Let's go to work. And, you know, 14-9, I'd be happy with that.
You know, Amp, I know Pro Football Weekly is not been seen by a lot of people yet, but I also know what a good friend Walter was to you, and that was tough even talking about him yesterday, 19 years down the road. But for those of you, like the very small handful of people like you who knew him so well, those have got to be very special memories, and it was cool of you to talk about it.
You know, I was talking with Matt Sui last week, and Walter was he was such a just a thin, wonderful person, doesn't cut it. But you know what? The end was so sad.
Right.
And you know, we all know that life for the living. Next year will be 20 years, and I've already reached out to some of my teammates. We're going to try to commemorate it somehow, some way. But he has still left such an impression on all of our hearts off of the field. You know, the stuff that he did on the field, that ended long ago, but on our hearts will carry forever.
Yeah, never going to forget Walter Payton by far. And Jarrett made a little cash this week on the auction block, so I think Walter wouldn't mind that either. Listen, Hamp, all the best, and have a great time. What time for the Hamp, OB, and Kaz show, Dave? What do we got?
That will be at 3 o'clock on Sunday, and it will be a full three-hour extravaganza,
buddy.
All the way to 6.
I don't like Carmen's chances of living through that.
No, I wouldn't think so.
I really don't. Sponsored by Chevy Drive Chicago.com. Thank you, Hamp.
Go Bears.
There you go. Great Dan Hampton. When does Pro Football Weekly air, Samber?
Or is nonstop.
It's kind of on demand.
Yeah, it runs constantly.
Hamp got pretty emotional talking about him, I understand.
Mm-hmm.
So it's worth a look if you don't see it every week, just based on Hamp talking about Walter
Payton. One of
Payton.
The best speeches as a Bears fan in the history of Bears speeches.
At the memorial.
Yeah. Just amazing that Hamp,
Well, we can talk about Joel Daly later. Okay. John Daly, sorry.
The Cook County
Joel Daly. I got his name wrong. I can't give him. Yeah, right? The whole point of that story was he got the name wrong and the number wrong.
He got the number wrong.
All right, let's get to the news in just a second from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom, where Steve Grzanich is standing by, and then Dean will join us live from L.A. And the coach is calling in. I don't know why I continue to take his calls, but he is. And Brent Sopel has an important event coming up that we want you to know about as well. And that's all in the 8 o'clock hour next on 720 WGN.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you.
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, honey. You know I love you more than what I should.
to Los Angeles, where Dean Richards will be joining us. And we don't know what he's doing in L.A. It's another one of these expense account press junket scams. He's running at Channel 9. And good for you, Dean. Good for
eating
you.
Eating caviar, drinking champagne. Mm,
fantastic. Fantastic.
I don't like caviar at this hour of the day.
Have you seen the show Entourage, Steve?
Yeah, oh, sure.
That's what Dean, that's Dean's life.
It is?
That's what he's doing, yeah.
What character is he from Entourage?
The main character. He's the main guy.
Oh, he's that guy?
He's
that guy couldn't act. Hey, listen, what are you doing in L.A.?
I am here to interview the cast of the Harry Potter prequel, Fantastic Beasts 2, the sequel. Does that make sense?
Sure. The prequel is the sequel.
The Grindelwald.
Yeah.
Yeah, which
Fantastic Beasts, the Crimes of the Grindelwald. Of Grindelwald.
Yeah, now have
Clark,
you...
Clark Griswold.
Have you gone over to the, you know, the Sony, or, well, let's start with the Staples Arena, maybe, and looking for a place for us to do the Moron Entertainment Awards?
I'm going to have a big meeting with Staples Center later. Mm-hmm. This is where the L.A. Lakers play, and, you know, where they do the Grammys.
Yeah.
I'm going to meet with them today. I'm going to meet with the Kodak Theater. That's where they do the Oscars.
Right.
But I don't know if we want to be where the Oscars are. The Oscars, they've had so much controversy. So,
you got a venue in mind? Because somebody that I spoke with mentioned the Shell on Route 59 and Ogden Avenue in Naperville.
It's also very nice. Yeah. That's an exceptional Shell, as we all know.
So, anyway. All right, we got a lot to do here and no time to do it. Pete Davidson took some heat from Ariana Grande. Why?
Well, you know how Saturday Night Live always runs their little promos for the new shows that are coming up. Jonah Hill is going to be their guest host this week. So in the promo, there's Jonah Hill, there's musical guest Maggie Rogers, and Pete Davidson. And Jonah Hill says, you know, join us. Our musical guest is Maggie Rogers. And then Pete Davidson goes, hi, Maggie, I'm Pete. You want to get married?
Making fun of the fact that he's no longer getting married.
Getting married to Ariana Grande.
I think getting engaged quickly. Hi, I'm Pete. Want to get married? Yeah, he and Andrea, yeah. Ariana met quickly. Got
so give me the girl perspective on this. Would that anger you?
It would get under my skin.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
Mary Vanderbilt, would that anger you?
If I was Ariana?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, she'll get a tattoo for some reason.
I'll pretend that, too, I would pretend that it didn't bother me, though. That's what I would say.
Yeah.
But it would bother
me.
It
would bother her.
Yeah, Ariana didn't pretend. She tweeted out a response saying, for somebody who is so into relevancy, I guess you're not so much anymore, whatever that means.
It's not a great put down. I mean, it's, you know, it is what it is. I see. I guess
something between them, not into relevancy. I don't see what that has to do with.
Yeah, I don't know either.
You know, you were engaged to a comedian. What do you think is going to happen?
Yeah, it's a promo. Well, it's an emotional time.
Crazy kids. Those guys. I think Mary's advice is the best. They should just both get tattoos and relax
and move
about
on
the whole thing.
Yeah, exactly.
And move on.
The final House of Cards starts today. Fox is mad at Oprah because Oprah's campaigning for Democrats. How dare she? Bad Boys 3 coming out in the theaters.
Yeah.
Look for that. But go ahead.
Will Smith confirmed it yesterday in a tweet saying it's definitely going to happen. So.
But I need a couple movie reviews from you. Nutcracker and the Four Realms?
Nutcracker and the Four Realms is new from Disney. It's... kind of a twist on the classic tale. It's not all ballet, not all dancing like we've seen most Nutcrackers done. This one, if I was going to compare this movie, it's a little bit like Wizard of Oz. It's about a young girl's quest to find a magic key that her late mother has bequeathed her, and she goes on this journey to find it through magical land and magical creatures. It reminds me of Wizard of Oz in that sense. It's beautifully done, really nice for kids, really nice for grown-ups. Gave it a Dean's List B+.
Miles Kaufman is in studio today, Dean. He's 11, and he, when you just mentioned the movie, he just gave a major fist pump.
Kind of jumped out of his seat.
Yeah. It's a great movie, and sounds like a great movie.
Yeah. Did you see it already, Miles?
No, I have not.
But you're just excited. You're very excited. See, I think everyone's going to see it. Everyone is going to like it. There's it's, you know, some beautiful dancing in it, some ballet, but mostly it's this you know, super exciting adventure. So I think I think this one's going to be one for everybody.
Feel like there's more. It's more kind of, there's more of an antagonist than just like the rats at the beginning of the Nutcracker and then just like 5 hours of ballet.
Definitely, you are definitely correct. There is an, it's not a thing of 5 hours of ballet. There's some ballet and some dancing, which is nice. But it's sort of like, you know, frosting on a cake. There's, you know, it's a little bit and it embellishes the flavor of the movie, but it's not the entire movie.
Yeah, it's got to be balanced.
Well, this is the kind of thing. What do we need you for, Dean? I mean, come on.
Really, honestly, I could have slept in. Yeah.
Yeah, there's not a question. All right, and Bohemian Rhapsody.
I think it's quite great. This is the Queen biopic, the Freddie Mercury biopic, starring Rami Malek from Mr. Robot, who is going to be nominated for an Academy Award for this. He's so good in this movie. It's a fairly true telling of the Freddie Mercury story, like any biopic. Some things get changed a little bit just to make them a little more theatrical. But for the most part, the story is true. It's a massive celebration of the incredible music of Queen. You will forget how many great Queen songs there were till you see this movie and you're sitting there singing along with every single one of them. It's the story of those times of the mid and late 70s, of the 80s, and in Freddie Mercury's case, his struggle with his sexual orientation, and then a big realization that he's diagnosed HIV positive. A diagnosis of HIV positive then was a death sentence, and what that was like. So while this movie has tremendous highs and is tremendously celebratory, it's also very emotional at times, and I think extremely reflective of what it was like to live the life that Freddie Mercury was living privately off stage. Some reviewers, everyone's entitled to their opinion, but some reviewers have called this movie homophobic and trashing it. It is anything but that. I think it's great. And Rami Malek especially outshines the movie. So I gave this a big Dean's List Day. You're going to have so much fun singing along with all these movies. They recreate the famous Live Aid concert.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
At which Queen really stole the show. And that's a showstopper. It's absolutely amazing.
All right. Enjoy your time in L.A. Are you back on the radio Sunday or somebody else covered you?
Nope, back on the radio Sunday, and we have many surprises, a.k.a. code word. We don't really have very much planned right now.
Really, you'd have no idea what's happening, but you'll figure it out when you come back.
Yeah, we have 2 days, 2-3 days or whatever. We'll figure it out.
Okay. I thought it was Friday in L.A. Maybe it's a different day.
I don't know what day it is here.
I understand. Well, you're in L.A. Get back
caviar,
to your
the caviar and the champagne's gone to my head, Steve.
Yeah, I'm not a caviar guy. Could you get me a shrimp cocktail and I'll call you back?
No. Ugh, I hate it, too. You know that scene in the movie Big where Tom Hanks eats caviar? Yeah. That's me eating caviar.
Yeah, you go, what the hell? What is this?
That's a big. That's a big when he spits it out.
Yeah,
big.
That's exactly right. Thank you, buddy.
See ya.
That's Dean Richards live from Los Angeles. All right, the coach, the old football coach. You know the old football coach.
He's back.
Stand by and hold. Talk to him in a minute. My new favorite listener, Laura from the 847, just sent us a picture of her after voting, and she's wearing her Make America Vote Again hat.
Yeah.
She's got a MAVA hat on. Nice job, Laura. Well done by you. After 9 o'clock, I will show you how easy it is to vote and give you one less reason not to after 9 o'clock.
Before if I could just say, I did not recognize that on first glance in that photo. And I was like, how hip Laura looks. I was like, man, that's a good look.
We should probably give away a couple more of those hats.
Yeah,
but only if you can convince Joe you've either voted or you're definitely planning on voting.
Or you have to wear it when you vote.
Yeah, and you got to send us a picture.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that, and I'll sign the hat for you. And by the way, Joe, if you think they're pulling your leg, slam the phone down in disgust. 312-981-7200 is that number. Speaking of the phone, here we go. It's the old coach.
Dave, when did this guy coach? Do we know what era he coached in?
I know that the leather helmet had not been invented yet.
Well, see, that's the thing, because Newt Rockne is the famous Notre Dame coach. Notre Dame's coming to town this weekend. Maybe that's what's fired him up to call.
Oh, right? Yeah, I hadn't thought of that.
Either that or his meds kicked in. Good morning, Coach.
Good morning, Cochran.
Yeah, how are you today?
I'm not bad. You know, I meant to tell you, you don't sound like yourself today. Must be why I'm listening.
Not bad.
I saw you on the Philco, my Philco TV. You look like you lost weight. What size are you wearing now, Cochran? Extra large or, oh, my God, it's coming towards us? Seriously, how much weight did you lose, Cochran?
Well, quite a bit.
Yeah, you look good. I bet you still leave footprints in concrete, though.
Well, if it's wet, sure. So do you have big plans for the weekend?
Yeah, I'm going to watch the, Notre Dame Fighting Irish. And it ain't Newt, it's Canute.
Oh, Canute Rock.
I knew the guy.
Oh, you did?
He's a heck of a coach.
So that's all you have for the story, is you knew him?
Yeah, we met one time. We had a beef burger.
Okay. I thought you'd have some interesting story, like, you know, you're arrested in some bar fight or something.
Now, what do you think this is, Cochran?
I don't know.
This was starting the depression. We couldn't afford anything.
Okay. All right.
You know what cracks me up, Cochran? You know, some babies were dropped on their heads by accident, but somebody purposely threw you against a wall.
Yeah, maybe they spiked me. Impossible they spiked me. You know, it is football season.
Wow. Are you still there, Cochran?
I feel like there's a delay on this call today. All right, Coach. So, listen, I hope you have a great day.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Oh, thanks, Cochran. Coming from you, that means a lot. Yeah, I had a nightmare last night. I dreamt it was you.
All right. Listen, I hope you have a better day.
Yeah, I love listening. Great show. Keep it up.
It always ends so positively.
I feel like he was texting while calling or something.
He did seem distracted, didn't he? I think there's a fairly good chance he wasn't texting. I mean, call me out on a limb.
Seems like he doesn't fit the formula of the texter.
No. I think he's 20 years short of faxing.
Okay, he was typing.
Typing.
He may have been typing.
On his old Corona.
He may have been typing. Probably typing a complaint letter about me, huh? That's probably it. Take 29 headlines are coming up, and stand by for Steve Grzanich in the WGN newsroom in just a couple of minutes on 720 WGN. Let's talk about this. Stamps. You know what? You can get everything on demand now. Like the podcast. Where would I get the podcast, Sandberg? If I wanted to hear the podcast, where would I go?
You can go to the app, the WGN Radio app. Hit podcast, very easy, or WGNradio.com.
Or any place where podcasts are now.
Yeah, and you could.
But those are the best.
We also linked
ones.
Them on our Facebook and Twitter pages to make it easy. Steve Cochran Show.
You know, it reminds me. You know what else is easy? Not just getting a podcast. Stamps.com. Stamps.com is just easy. Stamps.com means you can access all the services of the post office right from your desk. I've got that Stamps.com postage meter on my desk now. People are coming in weighing stuff all day long.
Yeah, you wouldn't let me weigh myself.
Oh, no, it's not a human weighing.
I know, but you made a point of telling me I couldn't.
Well, I walked in the office, you're standing on it. It's like, Dave, get off my postage meter. All available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So whatever size business you have, you can spend more time on it and spend less time on running back and forth to the post office. They're going to send you the digital scale where you can weigh your letters, but not Dave in it, and your packages too, and print the exact amount of postage online every time. So right now, use WGN for this special offer. A 4-week trial, including postage and a digital scale. Don't wait. Go to stamps.com today before you do anything else and click on the radio microphone at the top of the homepage and type in WGN. That's stamps.com. Stamps.com. Enter WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Here come the Hawks, the mighty Blackhawks. Take the attack.
Session still alive, still doing that song at birthday parties and bar mitzvahs. I don't know if you know. Do you know who did that song? You know who orchestrated that? Who did the arrangement?
Richard Marx's father, right?
Exactly.
Dick Marx Orchestra.
The Dick Marx Orchestra.
Mm-hmm.
John, I'm not making that up.
Why would we both know that?
I know.
It's true.
I actually didn't believe it until you backed him up.
Yeah, because you're the I was drawing Dave into my nonsense.
Yes.
No, it's absolutely
true.
He's
a big jingle guy here in Chicago. Yeah.
Yeah. And Richard Marx is one of the best guys to you'd ever want to meet.
And I remember as the Marx brothers, they killed in the movies in the 30s.
Not the same Marx family. Standing by the phone is our friend Brent Sopel. Good morning, Brent. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. How are you?
Good to talk to you. How's the mustache?
I've been banned from the mustache. The love of my life said, absolutely, it's either me or the mustache. Which one do you want?
I give major credit to the love of your life for stepping in and taking care of that for us.
You mean it's trimmed or it's gone?
Come on, Mary. What's wrong with my mustache?
Brent, you're a handsome guy, and now we can see the face.
Is it gone? Is it completely
gone? It is gone.
Come on.
It is gone.
That's unbelievable. Why is that not a lead item in the news this morning?
Well, you know what? Like I said, I had to pick the two, and I went with her.
Well, clearly you made the right call. I mean, that's not the
Absolutely.
Question.
Absolutely.
All right, we're talking with Brent Sopel now, just because the Blackhawks, who had a rough night last night, losing 4-0. We'll get to that. But first off, I've told you this before off the air, and I'll say it again on the air. I'm proud of you, man. You got a great life story, and you not only saved your own life, I believe you're inspiring others to do the same. So one of the things that you want to focus on, and with your life, is education and making sure that people get the best possible situation they can to learn at their level. And that's why the Brent Sopel Foundation is helping people with dyslexia. So what are you doing here?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I didn't find out until I was 35 that I have it, and I still struggle every single day of my life right now. And one thing that people don't know, it's 1 in 5. It's cancer is 1 in 2. Right next in line is dyslexia at 1 in 5. That's how prevalent it is. You take a look at classroom, there's usually 25 or 30 kids, in each classroom. You got 4, 5, 6 of those kids that are struggling, with this dyslexia, what type. It's that prominent. And, you need to diagnose and get these kids tested early. If you catch it early, you're fine, no problem at all. But, those kids struggle with their self-esteem because they look at their peers and, why can't I read? But the difference is we learn a little bit differently. I tell everybody all the time that I didn't know what net money and gross money was until a couple of years ago. I could never figure it out, but I had to see it. Richard Branson, I watched a video of his who is dyslexic. He drew a net. Went round, then he put some stripes in there, and then there's a fish in there, and then he said, you pick this up and you take it home. That's your net money. It took me 40 years to figure out what net money is and gross money is because I had to see it. And, dyslexic kids, we need to see it. So we learn a little bit differently, but still smart. 50% of NASA are dyslexic, the employees. That's what they want.
Do you believe, Brent, talk about your experience as a kid, because I would assume today the public school system, or any school system for that matter, may be more equipped for kids with learning disabilities like dyslexia, but I don't think that might have been the case when I grew up, when you grew up, when others grew up in the 70s, 80s, and 90s.
No, you're absolutely right. Like, it's not like I get mad at my parents and say, why did you do this? I was reading at a grade 4 level going into high school. Like 2 weeks in, the English teacher said, Bert, why don't you stand up in front of class and read everybody, read to the class. Literally, I'm still scarred from it today. And you're absolutely right. Back in the day, they didn't know what it was. But, we know what it is now, but nobody knows what it is in the same breath. We figure about close to 20,000 kids in Chicago have dyslexia.
You make a really good point, too. Teachers don't intend to do that to a kid, obviously. But there's things in your life that happen to you in first grade and fifth grade and eighth grade, which on the balance of your life are minor. But they stick to you and they hurt for your entire life. And that's why we're so much better now at having a leg up on what kids are really dealing with. And it's not a perfect system, but dealing with it before kids have to go through
through what you went with, through, and others have as well. So it's another great statement for you to make to remind people.
I with my foundation, you know, on my website, you know, I get emails all the time from parents, or, you know, my daughter's struggling, you know, my son's struggling, so I get on a call and talk to them. But I say, teachers are there to teach, not to diagnose.
Right.
Now, you know, if you see your kids, you know, struggling, they come back to you, you know, let's go get them tested, because it is that prevalence. It's 1 in 5. It's also hereditary, so it's not going away. You know, so, you know, it's crazy. So they get mad at the teachers. They're like, you know, just, you know, you have to advocate as a parent. Nobody can advocate better than you, you know, as a parent. A lot of teachers don't know what that is. You know, my foundation, I hope to get at one point in time when we start getting into the education of the teachers about what, you know, dyslexia is and all the other learning disabilities, you know, because you can correct a lot of these, you know, you can still learn. You know, 50% of these people are working for NASA. Me? No, not so much. You know, I'm working my way to NASA, but still got a long ways to go. But there's brilliant people. Richard Branson is one of the richest people in the world. You know, Tom Cruise, and the list goes on. But it's all about diagnosing at a young age and get that self-esteem. Because we figure about 50% of the prisoners in the world, in every single prison, have dyslexia.
So, Brent, you know, if people didn't get a chance to last year, the thing you wrote for the Players Tribune on your story is amazing. And if you just Google Brett Sopel and the Players Tribune, it'll come up. In there, you say that your stepmom is one of the people that really helped you. And I can't imagine, you know, she obviously didn't know you were dyslexic and wasn't a special needs teacher to help you. So I can't even imagine the daily how much more work it was to try to get stuff done when you learn differently.
Oh, you know, it's she did a majority of my homework at the end of the day. You know, she pretty much did all that. If it wasn't that, the teachers were just passing me. You know, I graduated high school, but I didn't graduate high school, you know, as a hockey player. But I was labeled as lazy, you know, as dumb, as stupid, because you can't get this, and why are you reading like that, and that word is not there, what are you talking about? And that goes on today, and that's, you know, that's a big thing with my foundation is really starting to get awareness and real understanding that it's, when you talk about everywhere, it's 1 in 5, and, you know, 20% of this world has it.
It's amazing.
And yeah, of that 20%, you know, there's millions of people that don't know they have it. You know, if my daughter didn't get tested and found out what it is, I still wouldn't know what it is today.
Right.
You know, my struggles were still the same, but at least, you know, I've got that comprehension of understanding what it is. And so there was a weight, you know, taken off my shoulders that, okay, I'm not that stupid, but, you know, I still struggle with it, you know, today, because I didn't get in there and get the Wilson reading program, you know, to kind of rewire my brain, you know, to read. So, you know, that's the biggest thing, you know, our future are those kids. And we need to be behind them. We need to do the advocating for them, because they can't do it for themselves.
How did it affect your hockey career? You don't have to read nonstop playing hockey or comprehend the same way you do in a classroom, but did it have a negative impact on you in playing hockey?
You know what? It was actually the opposite. The only reason I played 18 years pro is because I had dyslexia. You
know, explain that.
For someone with dyslexia, you know, there's no straight line A to B. You know, we have to zigzag. And I played most of my NHL career in fear. And that fear got me through, you know, all those block shots and not afraid to play through broken bones and things I shouldn't be doing. I lived in fear. Why? Because someday hockey was going to end and I was going to have to enter the real world. And it was the scariest thing ever. And it's still scary. And I still struggle. And it's been a long, hard 3 years, you know, from the day. But, you know, my brain, my anticipation in the game of hockey was probably, it was my best attribute. And so I knew where some guys were going before they did, even though I was slower. And, you know, I put that to my brain of, you know, being dyslexic. You know, we kind of look in a 3D vision. So my anticipation of the game, of where the puck was going, where the guy was going, and, you know, through the fear, drove me to do anything I had to do, you know, to win and keep playing in the game of hockey.
Yeah, it's funny because you hear it all the time in discussions of things like autism. It's not about what's wrong with you. It's about how you think differently. And I think you've done a great job of explaining it. And you're a courageous guy, bud, and obviously a good dad. And I really appreciate you coming on and talking about the Brent Sopel Foundation. If we go to the website, BrentSopelFoundation.org, we can donate right there to help and also find out what's going on, because I know you have events and things you're focused on all year long.
Yeah, you know, I've got a raffle going on there right now, too, to raise money. And the raffle would be a grand prize is 4 tickets to the Winter Classic against Boston in Notre Dame, 2 nights hotel, downtown, limo ride, back and forth, and a signed jersey for each. So, yeah, you know, you could donate on there. You could be part of the raffle, get on there buying tickets. You know, and like I said, every dollar goes to these kids, you know, to try and get the tutoring that these kids need, get the diagnosis at a young age. So, you know, they go down the right path. You know, those 50% of those prisoners are out there. You know, if we could just touch 1, 2, 3, 4, you know, we can change their lives. We can change this world's lives, too.
Is your wife like kissing you better with no mustache?
It's a girlfriend. It's a girlfriend.
I'm sorry, yeah. A girlfriend?
Yeah. Well, fiance.
Well, so we were both right.
Meet in the middle.
Yeah, she does. So that was either me, kiss, mustache, which one you want. So yeah. I didn't get my good morning kiss, but I had to work. So well, I'll work. I'll look for that when I get home.
All right. And next time you grow that thing in and shave it off, raffle off the hairs. I'm telling you right now, buddy. Big money in mustache hair.
I'll let you raffle it off. How's that?
All right. You got it. Thank you, buddy.
Thanks, guys.
Just one of the great guys right there.
Yep.
BrentSopelFoundation.org. And what Sandberg was referring to in the Players Tribune, you can just Google that up and read not just about his dyslexia, but the struggles that he had that were in no small part because he was dyslexic and didn't know what was wrong with him. It's a really gutsy
and
piece.
And his honesty to talk about the trauma of being dyslexic and not having that being diagnosed and teachers calling kids up to the front.
Yeah.
Think about how many times that's happened to kids and it has an indelible mark, negative,
forever.
On their lives forever, and it changes the course of their lives.
It's amazing. So good for him. BrentSopelFoundation.org.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
See Oprah yesterday? Oprah took a lot of grief for the you get a car, you get a car. Not that it wasn't a great thing to do, but it became a punchline forever. Wouldn't it be great if Oprah had a sense of humor about it? Wouldn't it be great if Oprah was making fun of herself when she did it? Oprah is campaigning hard for Democrats, including the woman who is vying to be the first black female governor in America from Georgia. She was in Atlanta yesterday and also in a couple other cities in Georgia. Will Ferrell was there as well. Will Ferrell was going around knocking on doors. How did you get a knock on the door and there's Anchorman at your door? Huh?
Ron Burgundy
right there at your door.
It's pretty cool.
So Will Ferrell, Oprah Winfrey, and Oprah Winfrey's knocking on your door. Wouldn't you think you won the lottery or something? Like she'd have a big check just to hand it out to you. But it turns out she was stumping for this woman whose name I'm spacing on. When do you guys look this up?
Stacey
for me?
Abrams.
Thank you.
Abrams,
Stacey Abrams, who is working with our friend Eric Edelstein. Eric Edelstein's company, helping to try to get her elected. So, does she get a car? No. Oprah's speaking in front of a large group. Listen. She made a statement yesterday. She said, if you in this room or anywhere else that listens or sees this have an ancestor who lived in a time where they weren't allowed to vote or their vote was suppressed and you don't get off your behind and go vote, you are dishonoring your family. Pretty strong.
She should have gone further on that joke. She should have been like, everybody reach under your seat and there is some lotion. Yeah. You're like, no, there isn't.
Right. It's your polling place.
Yeah.
It's a voting sticker.
My only thing is, that's not Hollywood.
No. It's Georgia.
Right.
It's Atlanta.
Exactly right.
Okay. Well, it is interesting. There's a great lot of thought pieces right now about whether or not the Hollywood injection into this race will turn on Georgia voters or turn them off.
Well, we'll see, right?
We'll see.
Coming up, Stories of Matter with Steve Grzanich from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom, and CLTV joins us as well on WGN Radio.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show
on 720 WGN.
It's been 1 week since you looked at me. Dropped your eyes beside me, said I'm sorry. 5 days since I laughed at you and said you just did just what I thought you were gonna do. 3 days since I'm living.
The week in the news coming up in just a second. Let's see how much you know. 312-981-7200. Have that ready. Because we're going to be asking you questions. Now, I'm holding in my hand two stacks of paper. This one on the right is the ballot-ready ballot for my address. So if I went to ballotready.com, which is exactly what I did, and put in my address, it put together all of the races that I'm dealing with on a state level and on a local level, and the national level, which, of course, would be the Congress, the congressional race. Because both of our senators are not up for election. And in this hand, a little thicker stack of paper, are the Daily Herald, Chicago Tribune, and Chicago Sun-Times endorsements.
You print that out.
So, my point being, I could take these two stacks, this ballot already done,
yeah,
just to go to Ballot Ready, put my address in, click on my choices, and then I can check them out, see if it agrees with my research here. Oh, and by the way, this includes the, everybody goes, how do I know what judges to pick? The Illinois State Bar Association, ISBA.org, the Illinois State Bar Association does recommendations on whether or not you should retain a judge or not. So you don't have to go in and go, oh, I'll just go with the Irish names. You'll actually make an educated choice. I did all of this while I was on the air. So the point is, it's kind of a busy job for 4 hours a day.
It is, right.
So if I can do this while I'm on the air, you can do this while you're at home, yep, or while you're at work and knock this out and be ready for Tuesday. You can take the paperwork in with you when you go in the voting booth and go in and be ready. You could print your, you could do your practice ballot from Ballot Ready or Ballotpedia, bring it in and just go, here I go, click, 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 click.
Yeah, and Ballot Ready, I love Ballot Ready. You can actually put that on your phone and take your phone, just yep, your phone with
that's
you.
Exactly right. Ballot Ready. Speaking of the news, Steve Grzanich is here.
So we're staying with TGIF. That's the
sure. I like. I think it's sticking. What do you guys yeah think? I think
last week
like
was the
that game is Friday.
The inaugural
first thing,
TGIF.
I think it's brilliant. Whoever came
yeah
up,
whoever
yeah
came up with it. But the idea that you know, if you follow the news, now you have a chance to actually get payback for following the news. You get prizes.
Tens of dollars.
Listening to
prizes.
WGN Radio all week. Steve Grzanich in studio now, not at his news desk. All right. What before we start? What. Yep. This week, last week, we kind of knew what the number one story was. It was right in the midst of the pipe bomb or mm-hmm the sending, and of course, what happened in Pittsburgh over the weekend. But if you look at this week from Monday to Friday, what do you think is the number one story? What's the number one story that it was in the news this week?
Boy, I'd say it's, you know, the run up to the election and the just the amount of rhetoric and false news and issues that are leading, you know, from the White House up to the midterm elections. I would say.
You say White House?
Every day there's another you know story, another thing. The caravan probably right
caravan
up there at the
yeah
top.
All right, I want to get three
you know,
callers
the one that
in
stuck
here
in my head.
Which
the
one
week was the bus accident?
Oh, awful
in
yeah
Indiana.
So awful.
Yeah, yeah
right.
I think that relates
too
to everybody,
doesn't it? And
just
I saw a story
brutal
that said that there yeah were three of them.
There were three, five yes children killed this week alone in
what
accidents across the country. I think one of them was down maybe in Florida.
Three different bus accidents?
Yeah, Florida.
Three different
where bus
people
accidents
ignored the arm?
Yeah. They were yep going too fast down rural roads and they struck children.
I mean, there's no gray area there. If the bus is stopped and the arm is down. I don't, by the way, I don't even wait for the arm or the sign. You know, some of the buses have a little flip mm-hmm sign that comes
yeah
out.
No.
I don't, if I see a bus stopped,
yeah
I just stop.
Yeah. Yeah.
It says something about our impatient world or something.
But it also,
and there's lights
and
going on all over a bus. Yeah. You can
and
see it in the dark.
I grew up in a small town. And
yeah, so
these highways are really dangerous. I'm really surprised that school buses still stop on some of these highways.
Well, some of the things, we don't have a lot of hills in Illinois, but where I grew up in New York State, you'd have these huge hills,
yeah
right?
Yeah.
So you'd be coming over the top of the hill, and just over the crest of the hill, there'd be a bus
yep
stopped. So you
yep
got just slow down. Slow yep down. Stop yeah looking at your phone while you're driving. We need a couple more callers here because I want to get through yep three people who will.
We got three cuts. Yeah, 312-981-7200 is
the
phone number.
Right. What was the other question you were going
to
ask?
Yeah, okay. So, Steve, the flip side to that, as we ask these two questions before we start the game, what story that was important didn't get covered, that got skipped by all this caravan nonsense?
I think that there are two of them. One of them is kind of funny. The other is more serious. One of them was the report from scientists this week about how the oceans are warming faster than everybody said. As much as 60% warmer than scientists had previously reported, and they have hard data on this. These are thermometers that they apparently were
reading. And
that's
really the indicator weather, horrific weather, hurricanes, things like that.
Well, that's why we're getting storm of the century and flood of the centuries every couple of months. Mm-hmm. You know, we're supposed to get those once a century.
It's going faster than we thought. That's not good.
The other funny story, 60% of people say they believe in ghosts, and 40% of people say that their pets have seen a ghost as well.
Well,
that was the funny story.
After they asked them.
So your dog goes, you would not believe what happened to me today.
My dog did see a ghost at one point.
Is that right? How do you know?
So you're in there.
He barked at it, because I saw it too, and he barked at the same thing and chased after it.
Wow.
My dog barked constantly when all the little ghosties came to the door yesterday. So.
Same thing. Totally same thing.
Were some of them ghosts?
I don't know. I can't look.
You were too spooked to even hand out the candy?
Were they transparent?
I was too scared.
Yeah. By the way, John, remember how I told you Dave didn't have any trick-or-treaters? John didn't hand out any candy.
John!
What's your address again?
You're like the Grinch.
Yeah, the Grinch. I got hungry.
Ebenezer.
Miles, did you know John? John didn't
Grinch
hand out any candy.
Who stole
at his house.
Halloween?
What?
I'm sorry, Miles.
Did you, Miles. Did you lock it down? Did you turn off the lights and turn the
curtains
down?
We did, but let me clarify. We had construction on the front of the house, so we didn't want anybody coming up for. And plus, I had two bags of candy that I love.
Miles, on behalf of all kids, how offended are you?
Miles,
we're pretty good friends.
101%.
All right, there you go.
Miles, we are no longer friends.
Marlene, Andy, and Kevin, stand all by. Right. Chance for you to win when we come back.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
All right, let's meet Marlene here. Marlene from the Northwest Side. Good morning, Marlene.
Good morning. How are you?
Doing fine. How are you today?
Marlene, what do you think was the biggest story of the week?
She didn't answer my question. How are you today?
I'm fine, thank you.
All right, now you
I'm thrilled that I got through to talk to you.
Well, I'm glad you're listening. Thank you very much.
I listen every day. I've been listening since Wally Phillips.
Ah, you're a good woman.
There you go. Marlene, what do you think was the biggest story of the week?
I was thinking it was Oprah campaigning in Georgia.
Look at you there. Look at you there.
All right, Marlene, you ready to play?
Okay.
All right, see what we got here.
Okay, let's try this first cutout.
In a lot of those cases, we actually bring people in or know who those individuals are. We just don't have the evidence in the state's attorney's opinion to actually bring charges. So we know who they are oftentimes. We just can't charge them.
And the question is? The question is, who was speaking? Is that what you'd like to know, Steve?
That's the question.
All right, so who was that? The only hint you get is the guest on the Steve Cochran Show this week.
I can't remember.
Oh, come on, Marlene.
God.
Marlene, come on. I want you to win, Marlene.
I do, too.
Oh, man. Hold on, Marlene. Hold on. It's probably the echo. Let me move over here to Andy. Andy is in Lake Moore. Andy, say hi to Steve Grzanich.
Hey, Steve.
Hi, Andy. How are you?
Very well, and you?
I am doing well. Can you name who this person is?
Listen now. In a lot of those cases, we actually bring people in or know who those individuals are. We just don't have the evidence in the state's attorney's opinion to actually bring charges. So we know who they are oftentimes. We just can't charge them.
Who is that newsmaker?
And if you can identify him, you and Marlene will both win and spend a weekend together in the Dells.
Well, I know it's a Chicago police chief. Blinking on the name, though.
Is that enough? Do we think that's enough to say Chicago police
ding,
chief?
Ding, ding, ding.
I'm stupid. You're smart. I was wrong. You were right. You're the best. I'm the worst. You're very good looking. I'm not attractive.
Well, so I guess that's a yes.
That's not a newsmaker. That's a yes. Yes, you win. And Steve, tell him who that was.
That is Chicago Police Superintendent
Eddie Johnson. Andy and Marlene both win, so Marlene owes you.
Oh, there you go.
Have fun in the
you're too nice.
Let's go over to Kevin. Kevin's in Flossmoor. Well, you see what I'm giving away? Please. Yeah. Kevin's in Flossmoor.
You're already giving me away, Steve.
Kevin, we got a clip for you. You ready?
I am ready.
All right, Kevin, who is this newsmaker?
Don't hide behind your closed doors and locked gates. Come on out. Enjoy the community.
and it's safe to come out. It's safe to celebrate Halloween.
Mm. Based on the music in the background, I thought maybe Denny Terrio from Dance Fever.
I'll go with that.
I think that was a Thriller in the background, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, Thriller, yeah. A little bit of a rock, not, disco, 80s thing. Not feeling it?
I'm not going to go against the host of the show. I'll go with that.
In this case, you really, really should.
Yeah. And I will. Rauner?
Not even close, bud.
Okay. Oh, sorry.
Oh, sorry, dude. Sorry about that.
Not
all right, let's keep trying here. It's Kevin in Flossmoor, and it's Colleen in Dyer, Indiana. Good morning, Colleen.
Hello, how are you?
Doing great. How are you?
Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not sure who it is, the name, but I'm thinking, is it an alderman or something from Rogers Park?
It is.
Ooh, we got to go ding, ding, ding.
That is correct.
And that alderman's name is?
Joe Moore.
I don't know.
Joe Moore. Yeah. Colleen.
I wouldn't have guessed that.
Colleen, great job.
Joe Moore.
Oh, good.
Pulling a Joe Moore clip. I like it, Steve Buzanich.
Right? That's very impressive. Hold on 1 second. Let me go back to Kevin and Flossmoor. Kevin, how bad do you feel?
I don't feel bad at all because I have Colleen who just lifted my day.
Okay. Right. Well, you should. Why don't we give Kevin? Let's give you a different one.
You got
let's
one?
Give you
got
our last one. Let's do one more.
Yeah, we're give Kevin another shot.
All right, let's do the one for Kevin here.
You know what the other nefarious thing is? To instill fear in our community. To tell us not to come out to vote. That they're coming after us. That they're watching us. That nobody is safe, even if you were born in this country.
These are tough clips.
All right.
They got tougher as we went along.
It's a young activist who, you know, stands up for everybody's rights, I believe.
Real generic.
Who's laughing?
I'm laughing
who's
at you.
Laughing?
That'd be Justin. Justin's
isn't
mocking
it?
You.
No, it's.
I'm sorry.
I think we have to
love
have something.
That you called him young.
Yeah, we should have something more specific than the young activist who stands up for people. But you know, we're funny like that. Kevin, hold on again.
All right, since we're out of time, I think I know that one. That's going to be Congressman Gutierrez.
That is Congressman Luis Gutierrez.
You could tell his accent, and also, of course, it's good to have a outgoing because he's not going to be the congressman after.
So he's not running for anything.
Steve, you tell me because it's your game, but I think what we should do is put Kevin in an elevator with Luis Gutierrez and let him yell at him for about 25, 30 floors.
Yeah, that would be good, I think.
Although Luis Gutierrez is going to love it because he's like the young activist. Congressman Gutierrez is like, young? Yeah. Thank you.
Right. Yeah. He's partly right. I mean, I guess Gutierrez is an activist, right? So he's partly right. Yeah. I think I was partly right.
Yeah. No, Kevin gave it a good shot. He really did.
There you go.
Congratulations. The prize that those folks won include Apt gift cards, Apt at ABT.com, and gift certificates to Golf Center Des Plaines at GolfCenterDesPlaines.com. Great place to keep your game tuned up all fall long. All right, I know you got to go do some work. Thank you, Steve.
Thank you all for listening
to
the stories that matter.
TGIF.
Oh, look at how he worked in the slogan there.
See, you got to pay attention to the news all week long. You can win a pizza.
Right. Those are tough this week.
Before, you just had to do it to be well-informed.
Yeah.
Now you can win a pizza.
Now you can get pizza.
Pizza, app cards,
you can't
golf.
Beat pizza.
You know what's nuts? I feel like you're low on sugar. Do you need us to run out and get you some candy or something?
Miles got
somebody
a whole
had
bunch
a bag of candy.
Yeah.
With equipment like this in the home of the future, we may not have to go to work.
Now, from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
In the 21st century, it may be that no home will be complete without a computerized communications console.
It's the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Live from the 18th floor of our own computerized communications console. Now, this is having music on a Friday
in
this incredible studio is great. These are friends of yours from the download?
Well, Rich Jones is a longtime hip-hop artist in Chicago who used to host a great hip-hop, I guess, open mic, but it was by DePaul University in Lincoln Park. And he's been on the download a couple times for our Studio 435 where he performed live. He's got a brand new album which just dropped today, which is called The Shoulder You Lean On. And Rich is making a transition. We talked about this on the show. But making a transition from sort of straight up hip hop guy to much more singer songwriter R&B stuff,
sure.
And like I said, the highly anticipated "The Shoulder You Lean On" the album that just came out today. He's got some great tracks. I was listening this morning on the way in, and he's got his band in our performance studio, which I'm very excited about. We've got let's see who we've got here. We've got Lucas Greco who's on guitar. We've got Timmy Volchek who's on bass and controller. Just want to throw that out. and Rich Jones, of course, on vocals. So if we're ready to go, they're going to play a song called Rolling Stone. They are in our performance studio. Here is Rich Jones. Take it away, Rich.
Got no time for waiting. Can't seem to leave it alone. Took me a while to tune out. Now I'm just rolling stoned. I done seen some things, babe, that put me face to face with phantoms in the open, empty as they came. Wonder if they'll catch me if I do what I claim. I do if you did what I think you did. If suspiciously like the deck was stacked before we dealt. Yes, myself weren't right and I did misstep. Got no time for waiting. Can't seem to leave it alone. Took me a while to tune out. Now I'm just rolling stoned. Rolling stoned. Rolling stoned. Rolling stoned. Rolling stoned. Careful they don't get you. Careful they don't get you. Love it and then leave it. They didn't really need it. Think there may be some. Think there may be some. A method to the madness. So try to stay believing it. Suspiciously like the wreck was staged before we crashed. Feeling cryptically like the best of me might be taken away. Got no time for waiting. Been alone. Took me a while to tune out. Now I'm just rolling stoned.
That's some of the best. Look, the song is great. Obviously, the vocals are great. The arrangement's great. That's some of the best bass.
Yeah, there you go. That's live in our performance studio.
Dude, I'm telling you.
Rich Jones, the new album just out today, The Shoulder You Lean On, a great Chicago artist who has been performed here on WGN many times, but also is known throughout the hip-hop scene here, making a transition in his career from both from hip-hop artist to R&B singer-songwriter, and he's here, as well as Lucas Greco and Timmy Volchek, who are on bass and guitar. Rich, thanks for joining us. Thanks for performing.
Man, so great to be here.
You sound great, and it seems to me the transition from hip-hop to a jazz, funk, fusion, cool, laid-back vibe like that would be way harder than going the other direction.
I mean, maybe. I haven't had to do that, so I couldn't really tell you. But I definitely think one certainly informs the other, especially in terms of like the writing and kind of in figuring out flows. And then when you add melody to that, it kind of does it itself. Thank God I can sing a little bit.
How hard was it to make that transition for you? Just as your confidence, knowing how well you've performed as a hip-hop artist and a rapper, how hard is it to go straight and jump into the deep end as a singer-songwriter only?
I think it's been made a lot easier having some amazing producers to kind of guide me and coach me, whether it was Ryan Lofty with the Vegas Project that came out top of last year, then with Jay Keller, who's worked with all sorts of different people like Kid Cudi and Twista and, you know, all manner of folks. So, you know, I've had some amazing people to work with. That song in particular I did in LA, and John B, the R&B vocalist from the 90s, he was in that session. It was super crazy. It was nuts to kind of have his vibe kind of in the room as well while we were making that.
You know, I go back even further. I'm old enough to say I hear a little Jeffrey Osborne
I was going to say, how has the audience changed for you, you know, with this complete
That's a good
change
point. Well, I don't think he knows yet, do you?
I mean, I think people really like me, and I think that helps a lot.
And that's not just his mom.
But my mom is a fan, though.
Yeah. And now your mom's friends probably are, too.
Yeah, no kidding.
Oh, the whole block, man. Shout out Old Irving Park.
And Al Jarreau? Any Al Jarreau fans in the room?
Oh, yeah. There you go.
Yeah.
So now the album's out today. What's the plan? I mean, are you going to go nationwide? Are you going to start touring this thing? What's the plan for you?
I think there is definitely going to be some movement in the next few weeks. We're going to be announcing kind of what that exactly looks like. But we're definitely 1,000% doing a show in New York in 2 weeks. And then, yeah, just kind of going to feel it out. I know.
That's show business inside for they're taking a meeting. We're taking a meeting to figure it out.
Precisely. Yeah. Coffee, bagels, all that.
Would you mind doing another one?
Hey, let's do it.
The album is The Shoulder You Lean On. The artist is Rich Jones, and this song is called Step Into You with Timmy Volchek and Lucas Greco, both on bass and guitar. Guys, take it away.
Couldn't wait to get close to you and make the most of your love. It was fun to escape, but eventually the clock runs out. Feels like I'm running away from a future that I won't get again. There is no turning away. It's time to step into you. Petty troubles got my head messed up. Medicated, now I'm numb. Blind spots filling up. I didn't see the cars. Your hand tightens on my knee. Are you feeling alright? You're looking like your mind ain't where it's supposed to be. Don't forget to breathe, don't forget to be. I couldn't wait to get close to you and make the most of your love. It was fun to escape, but eventually the clock runs out. Feels like I'm running away from a future that I won't get again. There is no turning away. Time to step into you. Picture perfect when you got me to smile. Felt like it had been forever. The longest of miles. Could go farther as far. Could go farther if we wanted it to. I do. I couldn't wait to get close to you and make the most of your love. It was fun to escape, but eventually the clock runs out. Feels like I'm running away from a future that I won't get again. There is no turning away.
It's time to step into your. It's time to step into your. Step into your. Step into your. Step into your. Step into your.
Yeah,
this is great.
It's
great. Shorty Alina out today. Record release show, Sleeping Village, tomorrow night, 6 o'clock. And great reviews of the new record. You may have seen it on Channel 9 this week. And get it where, you know, wherever you get music.
That's right. Rich Jones. Hey,
thank you, guys.
Thanks, man.
Hey, thank you so much for having us.
Great to having you back. And good luck with the record and promoting it.
And come back.
Yeah, that sounds like a great plan. Thank you.
All right. I know it's early, but thanks for doing it.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
On 720 WGN.
I think Bob Ferguson, too, does a great job with engineering and live performances on the show. Thank you, Bob. John DeCosta here. John, you have an appearance this weekend?
I do, and it's actually, this is kind of cool. Tomorrow night, Saturday night, November 3rd, the Assisi Animal Foundation in Crystal Lake at the Crystal Lake Country Club. You cannot buy tickets at the door. You can only get them on, just call 815-455-9411. This is a 30-year anniversary for the Rescue Center there. They're phenomenal for the little cats.
Yeah, nice deals.
Yeah.
Now, and something came out of this. We can turn it into a text question next week because I don't think we've done it. And that's making sure you're sending the text you're sending to the right person. What's the first name of the woman that got the unintended text from you?
Wow. We're really going to go there.
Yeah, I'm not going to say what she said, obviously.
Her first name is, it's Karen Schatz.
Well, that would be her entire name.
Her name. That's okay.
Karen was very understanding about a text that you had sent to a fellow comedian friend of ours that was completely inappropriate, and she got it instead.
Yeah. We're in court, I think, next Thursday.
It might be the most inappropriate thing I've ever seen Rich in, because he showed me.
Yeah.
It's really bad.
I don't know, ever in the history of things that were written.
It's pretty bad.
Maybe between...
I don't expect that from John.
But she had a great sense of humor about
it. She was phenomenal about it. Yes, she was.
No, she's never going to let you work for her.
No. Matter of fact,
that's the right move.
Super Joe had a great text question today that we never got to.
Which was?
With the daylight savings being this weekend, what other than sleep, what else are you looking forward to getting in that extra hour?
Yeah, let's wait till the time changes again. It's going to be great.
6 months when we lose the hour?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And also, New Year's Eve, want to remind you, New Year's Eve, we're back.
Yep. Third year at the Tivoli Theater, downtown Downers Grove. This year, the best show ever. Rocky Laporte from The Tonight Show and Letterman, and then our own Dean Richards.
The comedy stylings of Dean Richards.
But Dean will be there. It's just a great show. You, me, Tim Banker, it's going to be a lot of fun. I cannot wait. You can go to eventbrite.com to get those tickets.
All right.
What time is it at?
It is at 7 o'clock for people who can't stay up.
You'll be back. It's a 20-minute commute from your house. You'll be back home by 10 o'clock.
Yes.
It's 9:58. Bill and Wendy coming up next on 720 WGN. Bill and Wendy are here. Hi.
Hey, Boo.
How are
Malibu.
You? That's me. That's me.
They certainly don't my Boo.
They certainly don't call me Lightning.
Malibu, Boo, my boy.
What
the hell? Is that what you're going to say?
Yeah. What are you guys doing today? And does it involve Miles, who's the most entertaining person
I love him.
He's like the Flash.
He was really struggling today because he wanted more airtime.
Yeah.
And his dad did not let him.
Oh.
As a matter of fact, there was a point, and I've never seen
a packed show.
I called DCFS because there's a point, I've never seen this kind of outrageous parent behavior, where Miles was in Justin's chair with the microphone in front of him ready to go.
Really?
And Justin had to be on the air, and he made a move.
I made a move.
Outrageous.
You know what he figured out? And there's actually people are tweeting at me where the cameras are for CLTV.
Yeah, right.
He scoped it for 2 hours.
Oh.
And then he found it. So when it started, it's actually great. I want to screenshot it because we're all doing the show. And he has turned and
he's
put himself in a perfect spot, mugging, doing hand signals to CLTV.
He totally gets show business.
I heard him trying to figure out ways to make the Nutcracker more entertaining for a bigger audience. That was fun to listen to.
Oh, jumped. He jumped when we were talking about that. He had to come in here and say something. So
he just doesn't like 5 hours of opera. Who does?
Ballet, even better.
Oh, it's ballet?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Same thing. Dancing.
Ever since I left the Joffrey, I just have blocked it out.
Right.
Big weekend ahead for you too.
Maybe the Kane County Flea Market. Ooh. We like going there. Yeah,
yeah. You are a crazy woman.
I know.
And Bill?
We're just going to move our clocks ahead and back and ahead and back.
Just trying to figure out, trying to figure out where you are and what time it is.
My family, we're all Highlanders. We travel through time. It's amazing. Pick an era. We'll be there.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, it's fun.
All right, so we'll see you Monday around noon?
We already had that. That already happened.
That happened.
Yeah.
Have a great weekend. Go Cats. Go Bears. See ya.